兵无所住而生其心。So he should instead produce a mind that does not dwell anywhere. Mind without dwelling. Then only such a pure mind can arise. 而生其心。So whenever you dwell, it means your mundane mind is active. That's why in meditation, you cannot have a meditator. That is the meaning. Because who is the meditator? The meditator is always the thought trying to meditate, to be active. So when the thought try to meditate, it will try to do many funny things. It will either follow instruction or a method or a technique. The instruction can be note, rising, falling. Or anapanasati means develop mindfulness on the in and out breath. All these are instruction. Then you go and interpret the instruction. Then you want to know how to do. The only instrument you have is the thought. Thought, which is Sankara. So you approach the thought and use the thought to note or to do the anapanasati. But anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You cannot have thought. That's why if you don't have the understanding, you will interpret the thing wrongly, then you will develop the wrong approach to meditation. Where the approach to meditation is to silent from the silent mind without thought, without activity. Don't do. Just relax, maintain awareness, and allow the awareness to understand, to observe, to awaken, to insight into phenomena. What has been taught is the complete opposite. Yeah, they are all thought-based meditation. So thought-based meditation create thinking. And the thinking comes from the thought. The thought has the words, the concept. So when you use words and concept, you will create a lot of what we call Dhamma. And these Dhamma are not the actual truth. The teaching, the Dhamma points towards the truth. But when you attach to the truth, you become gullible. So you use words. You verbalize inside there. You create the activity of thought process. You try to know. You want to know. You want to experience. That's why the mind is actively doing. When you are doing that, you are not meditating. Where you are not developing awareness. You are instead creating thinking. And this thinking actually conditions you into negativity of mind state. Because before you have the wisdom and the enlightenment or the understanding, thought is always wrong thought, egoic, has the errors. That's why it cannot bring forth the direct seeing. It cannot bring forth the understanding. Well, when you are preoccupied in your thought process, you cannot observe. When you cannot observe, you cannot understand. Because you are being conditioned. Conditioned by your memories, by your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your whatever accumulated phobia, scars of memories, your prejudice, your bias. So all this, they are going to create the frivolous thinking or the heedless thinking, which will lead to all the wrong thought. And your mind cannot be peaceful, aware, and silent. So the real meditation is you must not dwell. When you don't dwell, then only that pure mind can arise. Without thought, you are already aware. That's why you relax and maintain awareness to allow the true mind to return. when the sankhara activity slows down, when there is no more thought energy given to it, then it will cease. When it ceases, you will realize your true mind, your original state before thinking, before stirring, before the arising of thought activity. That is your meditative mind. That is your silent mind. That is your awareness nature within. So you have to realize that. And that is the beginning of meditation, beginning of true understanding. So this Huining's teaching, if you don't have all this clear understanding, you cannot understand what he said. When he said dwell, you don't know what he means. You think must stay somewhere. Dwell. No. Dwell means you actually get yourself preoccupied with the thing you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you technically think or feel. When you are distracted, deceived or drawn, then you get yourself entangled into trouble because you lost your ability to be with the moment in silent awareness, to observe, to understand, and to awaken. You become preoccupied with your reaction of mind, your thought process. Means whatever you think, you preoccupied with that thinking, that process of thinking. Then that process of thinking comes from your mundane mind, which has duality. Duality means it has its own judgment, prejudice, right and wrong, views and opinion of things. That's why it creates all this division, the dualities. Then because of this division and duality, it will divide and create more and more problems, more and more conflict, misunderstanding. Then it will stir your mental emotion, make you angry, emotional, fearful, worry, insecurity, and all this. These are negativity of mind state with the evil roots. So meditation is to see all this and understand all this, then inquire, why must I do this? What is the mind that is doing this? Then you realize you have two minds. One is the mundane mind that think a lot, that worry a lot, that continuously stir and create duality, division, get itself entangled with problems because of the self-delusion, the egoic mind, keep on arising, creating all the unnecessary conflict, misunderstanding, and afflictions within yourself and society, humanity, and the environment. So that affliction or contradiction or conflict is the result of the delusion that the mundane mind accumulated through memories, through conditioning, through the views, opinion, belief system that it entangled itself with. So unless you know how to silence your mind completely, to observe, to see, then you realize there is another mind that does not think, that does not do anything. That mind has the ability to be aware, ability to just observe. That's why it's a silent mind, choiceless awareness. It doesn't make choice. It doesn't concern itself with reality, right and wrong, good and bad. No, it's just observe. Through his observation, he comes to understand who he is, what he is. Then he realizes he has two minds. Then when you realize you have two minds, that is the beginning of understanding the Buddha Dharma. Then when the Buddha said, mind is the foreigner of all things, then you understand that is the mundane mind. That's why the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arise, all things arise. Where the mundane mind is the one that create. So in Mahayana, the Mandarin word to describe it is very good. 一切为心造. Everything arises from the mind. Mind created them. That's why 为心造, 心造成的. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arises, all things arise. It's all of creation. All of your mundane creation, they come from mind. And the mundane mind created the phenomenal world of form. So the phenomenal world of form and consciousness come from the mundane mind. So what we have seen is from the nature, which is the pure Buddha nature or our true nature, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness, our true mind. And that is still pure, undefiled. But the moment it starts to input the content, the deluded content with avidya, it starts to fall. It starts to be defiled. Then affliction arise. So because of that, you see the four-stage movement. From that nature come the first pure awareness nature. That pure awareness nature created the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind created the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. That's how creation come about. That's how we fall. That's how we become what we are, living beings. The knower becomes a living being, the form and mind. And because of sakyatiti, self-delusion, we become the traveler in space and time. That's how samsara arises, birth and death. Because through delusion, avijja paccaya sankhara, we created karma. And through that coming, upon death, the last thought moment, which has avijja, create rebirth consciousness. Then karma continue. And this cycle of samsara, birth and death, can never end unless you awaken. To awaken, you must realize your true mind, the silent mind. And that's how meditation needs to be developed. That's why you must not dwell. Your mind must have no dwelling. 因无所住. Then only the true mind or the pure mind can arise. The moment it dwell, it will stir, it will react, it will create mundane thinking. But then you must also understand, even though it is the mundane mind, it is connected to our nature. Where from there it arises, it's the byproduct of our true mind. And this mundane mind is needed for us to come to this existential world, to live life. That's why it is a karmically conditioned form in mind. A vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world, to this conditioned world, to experience life, to go through karma, to fulfill our vow, to do our duty, to explore whatever we want to understand and explore. So this is what life is all about. Within the conditioned world, it has its own duality. It has its own reality too. That's why the conditioned world, even though it's impermanent, when you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why he know you, he know me. That's why anatta nature, non-self nature. And because it's anatta, it is not real, not what you think, empty, because there is no mark, no mark of a person cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of life, existence, and dhamma. So everything within the conditioned world, even though it's unreal, because it is subject to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, or empty nature. of existence, but it has its own reality because it recognizes relationship. It recognizes the law of karma. So the form and mind, because it's subject to karma, you cannot simply do things. That's why you must have this right view with regards to the law of karma. Then you must develop the wisdom to act responsibly. That's why we have right duty. You have to do your duty. Right duty towards the law of karma. Because the law of karma recognizes relationship. It doesn't bother whether you have the ultimate wisdom or not. In the ultimate wisdom, when you realize the unconditioned, yes, he know you, he know me. But within the conditioned world, there is such thing as relationship. There is such thing as karma. You reap what you sow. So these two aspects of understanding within the conditioned world and the unconditioned world, they are very important. If you want to understand life and live life, you have to understand both sides. That's why Dhamma is not one-sided. When you awaken, you must also awaken to the complete understanding of life. That's the reason why the Buddha said, the Noble Eightfold Path under the Fourth Noble Truth is the meditation. It's only when you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path and have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path, then you can be free from all suffering. Otherwise, as a form of mind, as a human being, you cannot be free. You may have the ultimate wisdom, he know you, he know me, so what? Are you going to simply do things and don't want to bother about the nature's law? You think you already have the ultimate wisdom. Do you, he know me. Then you do what you like. No. Because every life you come, there is a form of mind. Before you are connected, before you have the awakening, you're still subject to karma. You still have to go through life, existence, suffering, payback time, all this. That's why the Dhamma is not easy to comprehend. It's because of that.